is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict, Europe. I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. This is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Judy's in Berlin. Her colleagues across the European Union. We go now to an election in Slovakia within these next days. That, according to a presentation in Strategic Europe by Alina Kutsko, Vice President for Policy and Programming at Globsec, and Judy tells me she is Slovakian, she lives there. We have a major candidate who's looking to win this election, and the opinion of this major candidate is that the Ukraine conflict is either none of the business of the Slovakians or the EU is being undermined by the Ukraine conflict. Either way, we're not looking at continuing unanimity. We've already had doubts in Hungary. We've had doubts expressed by German industrialists. But this would be a major new player in the conversation about aiding Ukraine. Judy, a very good day to you. I am meeting Slovakian politics for the first time. You tell me that the man who is likely to win has been a leader before. What is his position, if we understand it correctly, about going forward in supporting Ukraine? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John, and thank you as ever for having me on your show. Well, Robert Fico is not far right, but very right wing, very conservative, very nationalist. And the Russian aggression in Ukraine has given him a new platform, arguing that, well, frankly, the war in Ukraine, it has very little to do with us. We shouldn't be supporting it that much. We shouldn't be giving it military equipment or support because this will only implicate Slovakia. And he believes that this actually endangers Slovakia's role. So he's playing a kind of quasi anti-Ukraine card. Even though he seems to forget that when he was born, Slovakia was still part of Czechoslovakia and occupied by the Soviet Union. But memories are short in this part of Europe. And don't forget that Slovakia is a member of the EU and NATO. So this is a symptom of a kind of rising right-wing populism that's taking hold in some of these countries, which makes the unity of the European Union vis-a-vis Russia and vis-a-vis Ukraine a little bit fragile.
The question is, does backing away from Ukraine conflict help Slovakia? Is he making a case that it helps Europe not to be engaged in a war? Is he making an argument that the Slovakian people respond to? Because here in America, it's simple, pocketbook. You make a pocketbook argument, the people will listen. Is that true for Slovakia?
It's a very good question because Fico's rhetoric on Ukraine is actually coupled with little pocketbook issues for people. The price of energy, inflation, things are going up in price, everything's becoming very expensive. Everyday little things, and somehow politicians forget about these things, but somehow Fico has managed to conflate the war in Ukraine with the domestic issue, making it quite difficult to separate one from the other. Indeed, what is interesting, while he's playing the Ukraine card, he doesn't really have very strong policies domestically or economically on how to bring Slovakia's economy back to health again. One other little thing you should remember, that this small country, Slovakia, is a member of the Eurozone, and inflation in the Eurozone is quite high. And so in some ways, he should be addressing the problems inside the European Union rather than looking at Ukraine to become the biggest party when the elections take place.
The candidate's party is called the Smer Party. And I read from the essay in Strategic Europe. The Smer Party perpetuate the narrative that Ukraine's cause is not our war, Slovakian war. They claim that if only the conflict were to end right now, lives would be saved, economies bolstered, inflation reduced. They add that Western countries are to blame for the situation by disregarding Russia's security interests and constantly provoking Moscow. I've heard these same arguments for some time now. from the United States dissenting here, but also from Europe. Is this a growing concern, or is this a golden oldie? How to regard it, Judy?
2 points on this. To believe that if the war was to end and we should appreciate or take into consideration Russia's security interests, it actually ignores the point that if Russia were to win or to be given a very strong negotiating hand, Russia would not end the war in Ukraine and indeed would not end its imperialist ambitions throughout Eastern Europe. That includes Moldova, that includes Belarus, and of course what will happen to Ukraine, not to speak of Armenia. So it's a myth and it's self-delusional to think that, this is Europe's war and we shouldn't bring Russia to its knees. There's an aspect here that that is in a kind of self-denial. And the other aspect is that Fico is playing this Ukraine card because it's an election time and he wants to win. But I think there is a, not a weariness, but there's a growing sense, it's very difficult to articulate and to measure, that would be really, there's a wish that this war could end, but it's not articulated under what terms the war would end.
We have the same here in the United States, Judy. The Republican Party, several members of the Republican Party who are now candidates for the president have expressed concern that the war is not a positive for the U.S., for the economy, for our allies, and that the endless pouring of weapons into what is a brutal match between two sides who are cousins, after all, is not the future. That is being featured oft times now because of the major candidates in the Republican Party. I note that Mr. Zelensky, traveling to the United States, is said to be hosted again at the White House looking for more and more weapon systems. There's also concern voiced in the United States, political voices, these are men and women with agendas, that the corruption in Ukraine is obvious, hence the dismissal or exiting of the defense minister, questions about the defense ministry, theft, graft, all of those concerns are being voiced as a measure of what are we doing? We're coming to the third winter of war. Do you hear the same voices in Europe, especially in the core European states of Italy, Germany, France, and Britain?
No, it hasn't got to that stage yet. There is, of course, concern about corruption. There always has been, indeed, since Ukraine became independent back in the early 1990s. And no matter who was leading Ukraine, there was always the issue of corruption. It got worse and more entrenched. But certainly the European Union has set up special supervisory committees to oversee how the money has been spent and the aid, and the special civil society movements that are monitoring this with the European Union as well. It hasn't got to that stage of the United States. So this is an important element. And secondly, President Zelensky knows exactly that the corruption, this endemic deep corruption, which takes such a long time to overcome and to be replaced by transparent government and democracy and structures, is very difficult to do in a war, but he seems to be doing it. One aspect of this which we must bear in mind, the United States poured billions into Afghanistan, and the accountability over the way these funds were allocated, the way these funds were abused, the way these funds were spent, never actually seeped back to the administration. There's a special accountability office in Washington that oversees this extraordinary waste and corruption, which they documented assiduously, and very little was done. And Zelensky doesn't want to fall into this trap, and he realizes that he needs a very strong and transparent Ukraine, not only now, but particularly when and if this war ends.
To Germany, in recent articles in the Financial Times, there have been people expressing questions about the German economy because of the inability to recover from the pandemic and the war. The economy is bouncing along the bottom. If it's not in recession, it's near two. And the remark was ironic. We need energy. We need energy assured in order to become once again the manufacturing center of the European Union. Otherwise, and this is the disdainful part, will be no different than London, financial managers moving money around, not making anything. Now, that was one voice in the Financial Times. You hear that also in Berlin. Not us politique, but sort of like, let's move on here because we're losing our advantage with manufacturing.
The war in Ukraine has nothing got to do with this. This is about the crisis of the German economic model. The German economic model was based on wholesale manufacturing and exports without actually moving ahead with the times of digitization, of AI, of realizing that dependency on China for manufacturing and exports will actually be to the detriment of the German economy, because this kind of dependence will not be the catalyst for change. And so blaming other countries for Germany's woes actually is an excuse for not looking inside and realizing that the economic model is coming to an end. And putting subsidies in to German companies, which is being debated now, to protect them against high energy costs. This means that the transition to renewable energy will be slower, the transition away from manufacturing to more diversified economy will not take place. So this is a crisis of the German economy, regardless of what's happening in Ukraine.
Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. It's a newsletter. You can sign up for it. You know, watch the story of the Ukraine war through the eyes of Europeans who are participating and who insist upon unanimity, which is why you can spend so much time talking about a small state, Slovakia, and the ironies of Slovakia not remembering its own history of being under the boot of the Russian aggressor. We're going to turn to an issue next that Judy raised the last conversation. It was very much in the news, but I hadn't seen it from the European point of view. That is the former colonial empire of European states, in this case France, troubled nations in West Africa, and what is to be done. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.